Good evening, folks. I'd like to call a meeting for May 1st, 2018 of the Tompkins County Legislature to order. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Roll call of members.
Mr. Klein?
Here.
Ms. Corman?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Morey has asked to be excused. Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Ms. Black?
Here.
Ms. Champion?
Here.
Ms. Dawson?
Here with a bag of candy that's going around.
Mr. Granison?
Here.
Mr. John?
Here.
Ms. Kellis?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
13 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
I have a proclamation, but I don't see Jennifer Tavares from the chamber. Jennifer, come on up. We're hiding back there. Whereas America's progress has been driven by pioneers who think big, take risks, and work hard. And whereas from the storefront shops that anchor Main Street to the high-tech startups that keep America on the cutting edge, small businesses are the backbone of our economy and the cornerstones of our nation's promise. And whereas small business owners and Main Street businesses have energy and a passion for what they do. And whereas when we support small businesses, jobs are created and local communities preserve their unique culture. And whereas the vast majority of businesses in Tompkins County are small businesses, and they are the heart and soul of our communities in so many ways. And whereas because this country's 30 million small businesses create nearly 2 out of 3 jobs in our economy, we cannot resolve ourselves to create jobs and spur economic growth in America without discussing ways to support our entrepreneurs. And whereas the President of the United States has proclaimed National Small Business Week every year since 1963 to highlight the programs and services available to entrepreneurs through the U.S. Small Business Administration and other government agencies. And whereas Tompkins County, New York, supports and joins the Tompkins County Chamber of Commerce and Downtown Ithaca Alliance and others across the country in this national effort to help America's small businesses do what they do best, grow their business, create jobs, and ensure that our communities remain as vibrant tomorrow as they are today. Now, therefore, I, Martha Robertson, Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature, do hereby proclaim April 29th through May 5th, 2018, as Small Business Week in Tompkins County. And I thank Jennifer for being here.
I just want to thank you, Martha, and thanks to the rest of the legislature for your willingness to both support small businesses in Tompkins County in many ways and also to recognize the importance that small businesses have in our communities. I know many of you, individually and at committees and in your actions within the community do a lot to support local businesses. It's never been more important in this day and age when it's so easy to access nearly anything that we want in the world at the click of a button, at the quick use of our smartphone. It's really, really, truly important that we continue to patronize local businesses of all types of services, retailers, restaurateurs, and especially we just want to remind folks that we went straight from winter to construction season again, and there's a lot of projects going on, and I know you all already know this, but the extent to which we can continue to encourage residents to visit downtown businesses, to make the extra effort, park their car, hop on a Lime bike, do whatever it is they need to do to make their way to local businesses over the next many months. A lot of the local businesses do rely heavily on our tourist traffic and our visitors, and that's really what gets them through the year. So, I'm just here to say everything that we can all do and every dollar that we spend really does matter, and certainly your continued support is appreciated. So thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. express our gratitude to the entire chamber and the small business group. Thank you. I have one person for public privilege of the floor. If there's anybody else who wants to fill out a blue form, they're in the back there. For speaking under privilege by signing this, you agree to a 3-minute time limit. I agree not to raise my voice. I agree not to use lewd, obscene, profane, slanderous, or libelous language, or speak or act in a manner that would tend to incite a breach of the peace. I agree not to speak about county personnel matters. Personnel matters include comments about the job performance of named county employees other than elected officials. After 3 minutes, I agree to leave the microphone and yield the floor. Transferring time to another person is not permitted. And I agree that if I cause a disruption and am asked to leave, I will leave the chambers. So I have Faye Gugakis, and that's the only form I have filled out today. Hi, Faye. Okay, great.
Good afternoon. My name is Faye Gugakis, and I reside on the Ithaca Commons. It's been my home for 10 years. I've lived in Ithaca since 1982. I've been a cyclist since then. I bike pretty much every day. I bike to shop. I bike to get around. I'm what you call a committed cyclist. It was my horror when I saw the unleashing of these Green Line bikes. If you care about my opinion and my experience, and experience matters, to see the unleashing of these bikes in such a way that was so irresponsible, my heart was broken. I didn't think I lived in Ithaca, New York. Ithaca, New York has become very anarchistic. Anything goes. Oh, I can do whatever I want. I can disrespect you because I have a right to do that. No, people need to respect other people. People need to be safe. Okay? My bike needs to be locked. When they unleashed these Green Line bikes, they were all over the place where people need to lock their bicycles. I was on the phone all day last Tuesday, county, calling the county, calling the city, calling my reps. What's going on here? A lot of people are upset that these bikes were unleashed the way they have. And what blew me away is I was watching CBS News 2 days ago, or was it yesterday? And they were talking about it all over the country. These bikes are just everywhere, in trees, believe it or not, in ditches. And you know, they're just, I mean, it's so unfair that groups, and I've been warning about this, groups in this community, in the sustainability group, have never done anything about education, okay, anything about texting and cell phone use, because you've got that activity on people on bicycles now. You have people coming down the wrong way of the street while I'm in traffic with cars behind me, and I'm saying, please get off the street, I'm going to get killed, and I don't want to tell you what they said. You can imagine what they said. Curse words and the like. That is not safe bicycling in Ithaca. That is not respectable bicycling. And just because Bike Walk Tompkins, who never, ever, when I put my little note in their opinion, like, tell us what you think we could do, never, ever has Vicki Armstrong cared about my concerns. Okay? And now we unleashed this anarchistic Green Line bike. No, I don't support that. I don't support throwing bikes into the community willy-nilly and say, oh, we're trying to save the planet. That's not how you save the planet. And the reason I'm upset is because nobody cared for a long time what I've been saying. And the chickens came home to roost now. Because when Green Star banned me and I appealed it, and they had nothing against me, nothing. Nothing, okay? Now look what happened. Because nobody cared then, we have these lime green bikes taking up precious spaces. And who cares? I don't know who cares.
Thank you, Faye.
I don't know. Please tell me, who's going to do something about it?
Thank you, Faye. I've got Sarah Wicks and then Amber Smith.
Hi, my name is Sarah Wicker. This is my friend and no co-partner, I guess we would say, Amber Smith.
You go a little closer to the microphone. I'm sorry, I couldn't read your handwriting.
Hi, I'm Sarah Wicker, and this is my friend Amber Smith, and we're here representing the Finger Lakes Toy Library. We're a relatively new addition to the Tompkins County area. We have been open for 10 months down in the West Clinton Plaza, and we are a community resource devoted to play. Dedicated to play. We have about 700 toys available, 750 toys available for people in the community to borrow for their children. We're serving 150 families, approximately. Amber has more numbers, and 200 children at all economic levels in the county. And we just wanted to share with you a little of what we're doing. So I'll turn it over to Amber.
My name is Amber Smith. I am currently the operations manager at the Finger Lakes Toy Library. I've been with the organization since we first came up with the idea a few years ago. We have been open since June, since, as Sarah mentioned. I mostly just wanted to come and let you all know that we exist. I don't know how many of you as legislators even know that we're out there. Our growth has been really rapid, but we want to keep that going. We're really, really happy with the response we've gotten from the community, and we hope that you will help spread the word among your people and continue to let people know what we're doing out there. Our goal is really to increase play opportunities and to support play in our community, offer people access to higher quality toys than they might or not have financial resources to afford on their own. And also to share them. It's a sustainability effort also, that things do not end up in landfills. Children grow through toys very quickly, and they grow out of them very quickly, and we hope to share them as a community instead of everybody going out and spending a ton of money on them. We have a bunch of brochures here. I will leave them on this back table, and you guys can grab any that you want on your way out.
You can give them to Mike, and he'll pass them around.
Okay, perfect. I don't have any other comments. Do you? Anything else?
We're having an anniversary party on, is it June 23rd?
June 23rd.
At our little space. It's a very welcoming space. It's a great place for people to come play with their children. We have grandparents who come in with their grandchildren. It's also a wonderful resource for grandparents who don't want to go out and buy a bunch of toys when the grandkids come to visit. They can come in. You can take 3 toys. You can take them for up to 3 weeks. You can renew them online. Or by calling Amber, and we're really happy with how people are coming in and playing with them. We have 15 seconds left. I think we will just say thank you so much for your time. And
what time is the party on June 23rd?
10 to 12. We take toy donations from the public. All of our guidelines are on our website. So if you look, check there, you can read all about it.
I was there this morning. We took 4 this morning. So if you have more, we'd love them. Only things we don't take are things that are electronic for the most part and things that are media related. So television related toys, that kind of thing, we tend to not accept. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Sorry about your name, Sarah. Rich, did you have a question?
Mike got it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any other members of the public? Faye?
I didn't have time to say there's a solution. The solution, which I talked to Jeff from Green Lime Bicycles, who called me, I said, he asked me, what do you think? What do you think is like, have you have Ithaca Car Share? You have an area where these bikes are separate. They have their own place where people return their bikes. The way they're being dealt with now is completely unacceptable.
Thank you,
Faye. They need their own docking system.
Thank you, Faye. All right. We've got municipal officials. I think we'll probably discuss this under legislature privilege of the floor, but I'll let that happen when it happens. But we've got 2 municipal officials today. Kathy Servas from the town of Dryden. Welcome. And thank you very much for being here, Kathy.
Where would you like to be?
That's good. If that microphone should be working.
All right. Hi, everyone. I wanted to give you a brief update for the town of Dryden. Tomorrow evening, May 2nd, there's going to be an evening of recognition being held at TC3 to recognize Dryden's first responders that have been actively serving the community for 30 or more years, and there's quite a number of them. So I'll be attending that. The town board, related to that, the town board created the Emergency Services Advisory Committee to help facilitate communications between the multiple emergency services companies within the town of Dryden, from Freeville, Aetna, Varna, Dryden, all of that. So there's more communication and possible equipment sharing. The town board also approved a $10,000 in funding to the Finger Lakes Land Trust for transaction fees related to the conservation easement for the Prince Farm, which is a 324-acre property that is being donated by the Brotherton family. It's a phenomenal piece of property. And last is the draft design reports are now available for the Freeze Road and the South George Road projects, bridge projects, for review and comment by the public. These reports can be found on the town's website under the permit and project reviews menu at the top of the homepage. Comments can be emailed directly to me at kservas@dryden.ny.us, and I would appreciate you spreading the news. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, don't go away. Let's see if there are questions. Thank you very much, Kathy. Mike Lane.
What time is the recognition ceremony tomorrow night?
It starts at 6:30.
6:30?
Yeah.
Dan.
We've been hearing a little bit about the Freeze Road Bridge, and we know there's grant money, and there's a timeline of when that money needs to be used by. I'm wondering if you could just say a little more. Does the town of Dryden have a schedule, or is there a deadline when the town of Dryden plans to make a decision?
The town, I believe we're going to be talking about the draft design report at our agenda meeting next week on Thursday, and hopefully making a decision on the preferred alternate option. The master agreements with the it's for the Bridge New York grant, and the master agreements with DOT were signed in October of 2017. From that point, we have 3 years to come to completion of construction for this grant money. Within 18 months, we must be into construction. So the design phase is 18 months long. So we are in a sort of a strict timeline. However, because of the Freeze Road Bridge being a historic bridge, that has to go through what is called a section, well, you probably know, Section 106 review, and that's going to take a little longer than we had first anticipated. So, but we would like to get comments from the public sooner rather than later, and hopefully have decisions or, you know, alternatives figured out by the end of May, I'm hoping. Possibly June.
Did I see somebody over here? Okay. Anna?
Just as a follow-up, the 18 months that you talked about, how far into that are we already?
Well, it's from October, so we're about 6-7 months into that.
And the other question, you are hoping to get comments. Are you open to comment? You're focused on comments from the community, Dryden community.
Or no,
not
necessarily.
Or are you open to... So we should share this throughout the county.
Yes, please. Please do so. This bridge is going to be, is a county bridge. And so the comments from the entire county, plus even we've had people from outside the county use the bridge. It is a good, that road is kind of a cut through from Varna to Lansing. And it's a good shortcut. So, like, the emergency services, if there's a fire on Hanshaw Road, Varna Fire Department is the closest to that road. They would have to go all the way down 366, 213 up to Hanshaw Road because the bridge, as it currently exists, is not wide enough for those fire trucks to cross. So we do want anybody from the community to comment. I know there's a lot of Cornell employees that work in that area as well. So,
actually, the shortcut would be to go east to 13 and not over Freeze Road anyway. They have access at this point. Kathy, on email, I'm on the Citizens Committee that's working on this. You said that you're now getting a message about slowing down the process.
That's what I said. The Section 106 review, it will take a little longer than we at the town level first initially thought. I received a phone call from Erin Cole at the DOT, and she said to slow down. But I'm not going to slow down too much because we do have that timeline.
So, but you said the agenda setting meeting is next Thursday.
Yes, we're going to discuss
it. But not decided, or
if we have any decisions during that discussion, those resolutions will be voted on at the following business meeting.
Well, usually when there's a comment period, there's a set amount of time, and no decisions are made before the end of that.
I haven't gotten the deadline from the consultants. It's just the town board is just going to look at the alternatives and kind of do a preferred, preferred option. But that doesn't mean that's going to be the final design. You know what I mean?
Well, wouldn't it make sense to wait for public comment to come in and use that in their decisions?
Yes.
Okay. Did I see Deborah and Shauna?
Yeah, I had.
This
106 review, Kathy, is
yes.
This something that the State Historic Preservation Office does, or is
yes.
this something? Okay.
Yes.
So DOT, I'm trying to sort this in my mind. DOT gives you a deadline, and then they tell you to slow down?
Two different offices in the DOT. Yes.
Okay.
Pretty much. Welcome
Shauna.
To government.
So would you be able to tell me, as far as the bridge grant goes, is the grant specifically for a two-lane bridge?
No, not necessarily. The grant was written or requested to either replace or rehabilitate that bridge. And so we are going through, normally a draft design report is created with maybe three, possibly four alternatives. And one of those alternatives is always null, which is doing nothing. This one for Freeze Road Bridge, we have six. So it's quite extensive, and we really, truly do request public comment on and help deciding, making the final decision. Anything else?
Thank you very much, Kathy. Great to see you here.
Thanks.
George McGonigal from City of Ithaca.
Hello, everyone. You're probably not surprised that I've been to the toy library. It's a real cool, it's a very modest space, but it's full of very nice toys. And the nice thing about it is you don't have to fill up your house with the toys. You can take them back, and I think it's a good addition to our community. I don't really have anything prepared today other than I'd like to thank you all for your continued efforts with this battle with Spectrum and the effort to get our local TV stations back. You people have been working real hard at this, and I really appreciate it. And the only other thing I would say is avoid East State Street at all costs.
Thank you, George. I second that motion. Any questions for George? Anna, and then Mike Lane.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the timeline for the reevaluation of the current CTAP program and what is currently being considered? I ask that only because I know there's also conversations happening about zoning and what possible city updates on zoning.
Zoning related to CTAP?
Related to city.
Well, I can answer those questions next month and give you a better answer than I can now, which is not much. But the city is talking about extending their PUD zone into the West End / waterfront area. So that would be a change in, be a different type of zoning, a much more open type of zoning.
Mike Lane?
appreciate the warning on East State Street, but seriously, where does the city want people to go? Do they want them on Buffalo and Seneca?
That's an excellent question. I asked that question at the most recent Board of Public Works meeting, and Mike Thorne, our superintendent of public works, said there will be specific different ways to go, the detours. I've been avoiding it, so I haven't seen if there are actually detour signs up there yet. Mm-hmm. But I think there will be specific detours. I suspect a lot of people are going to use Giles Street and probably Seneca Street and Buffalo Street. But I can find out more about that as well.
It just seems to me, as a person that drives that frequently, that there really ought to be a lot of publicity, you know, with maps and things in the paper. And
so I agree.
You've really got to start replanning how you're going to approach to and from Ithaca. Because I think this is supposed to go until October, is that right?
That's correct. I agree, Mike. I'll make that suggestion.
Thanks.
Yeah, it really, really is. In fact, over the week, I knew by word of mouth that it was going to start. So I went, for example, on the TCAT website, and there was nothing as of Sunday night. And I didn't see any kind of notice. So it's a real, I mean, when they had to close Seneca Way for a little while because of the hotel construction, that was a mind bender too. We understand it's hard, and the stuff has to get done, but and there aren't that many ways to go.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right.
And I want to thank you, George, for working with Deborah and me on the spectrum issue, and I'll let Deborah sort of update folks on it. But it's you know, if you want to say any more, but it's, you know, it's been great to have you know, plugging away on that with us.
Feelings mutual.
Anything else for George? All right, Deborah.
Did you borrow those toys for yourself?
No comment.
Great. Thanks very much, George. Appreciate it. Good to have you here. Legislators. Anybody? Debbie, you want to? Deborah, want to pick up on spectrum?
Sure. We're taking a three-pronged approach, I guess. Brian Lilly, who is the who co-owns WENY in Binghamton, is negotiating with Charter and Spectrum to see if they will let him put a 24-hour local news station back on as WENY, minus the network programming. So that's the first prong. The second prong is that George and Martha and I have drafted a petition, which we will shortly be putting out, and we will try to get lots and lots of signatures, and I don't think it's going to be that difficult, but we will ask for your help in publicizing the existence of this petition and helping us get those signatures. And then Martha and Svante will write a cover letter with that petition, and that will get set up. And the third prong is, at this point, if they continue to ignore the needs of our community and our county, I think we ought to seriously think about organizing a boycott. Martha's not really 100% on board with this, but I'm all about a boycott. So that's where we are. Thank you.
You already cut the cord, Deborah. But
yeah,
it doesn't
hurt me.
Yeah, so it's real important that we get the word out on that. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Really? Okay. Rich?
I just wanted to recognize Jay and Sandy True, who received the Distinguished Citizens Award at the Boy Scouts dinner last evening. And in the brochure were the various community organizations that they've worked to support over 30 years, and it's really impressive. So I just wanted to give them a quick shout-out. They've done great things for us.
Thank you, Rich. Leslin?
So Faye is very passionate about the Mind Bikes. Is Faye still here?
Oh, yes.
She's, okay. And I appreciate hearing your thoughts, Faye, and I'm glad that you had an opportunity to talk to the owner, I think you said, of Mind Bikes, about whoever it is, about suggestions for how to roll them out better. You have been passionate about biking, and we've been trying to get this community to a place where people are using more bicycles and less cars. So it's good to have bicycles, but I also agree that we need a proper sort of rollout plan. So thanks for sharing your passion. Thanks for sharing your suggestion for how to stage them like car share. I don't know if that's their model, but it's not falling on deaf ears.
Just to let you know, they don't want to do that, though, but I think that's what they need to do.
It's not.
Thank you.
Anna and then Deborah.
Yeah, I also wanted to say thank you. I know, Faye, you've brought this to a lot of people's attention. It did have an impact. And one of the things that is really important, and I'm just going to say this because I know this, there's some people who watch this, that the bikes, most importantly, as one of the bikers downtown running around between meetings, when I get to bike racks that are few and far between, and there's like 7 Lime bikes in the bike rack, and I have to move each and every one of them. I've been late to several meetings because of that. So for anybody listening, if we can share the word that the bikes are not, they do not need to be in bike racks because they don't engage if they haven't been paid for, so they sit there and that's the lock itself. And I wanted to just do a shout out to the Streets Alive group. It went, despite the rain, despite the cold, still a lot of people show up, and it is so amazing to see that many people come out into the community, walking, biking. We need to be more active. We need to take time off. Family engagement, so it's twice a year, and please keep an eye open. They have a website, so if you look for Streets Alive Ithaca, you'll find it, and start going. It's fabulous.
Deborah?
So I forgot to mention this. I got an email today from Gay Nicholson announcing the winners of the 2018 poll for leadership in sustainability and social justice, which came out apparently on Earth Day. And let's see, the individual category winner was Shauna Black for her active leadership on social and environmental issues as a freshman county legislator, especially in helping raise awareness on addiction issues and developing new harm reduction programs. So congratulations, my friend.
Ann Corman.
I also want to thank Faye Gukakis for speaking up about the bikes. And so you had a lot of people talking about that issue. So thank you for bringing that up last week. And I would also like to add, you know, as I was driving around town afterwards in a car, but after the bikes came out, the Lime, what are they called? The Lime bikes?
Lime bike.
Okay. So that it was, I was very heartened to see people of all ages, all colors, riding around Ithaca. So if that improves the or increases the number of people riding bikes, I'm very happy for that.
I did get my helmet after 20 years so that I can ride too.
Excellent. Fantastic. Anybody else? Mike Lane.
I would just like to point out to you that this is a money-making company, this Lime bicycle group. And there are other companies out there that have similar business models. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that these are the only private bicycles we're going to see in Ithaca.
They certainly don't replace having your own, but not everybody can do that. And I know for some of us who live on the wrong side of a hill, it's a great way to get around on the flats. So, and I would second that what Ann said about Faye. You did get to a lot of people really fast. So thank you for that. Anybody else? Ann?
I just want to add one more thing on that same topic. I went on vacation a couple of weeks ago down to Florida, and they did not have this bike system, which I thought here in Florida, where it was really flat by the beach, and visiting a cousin, I wound up buying a bicycle to leave down at my cousin's so that I could ride a bike because it was so expensive to rent a bike for the week. So if they had had this, and I will be looking for programs like this when I travel, because it's really hard to, well, to bring a bike either in your car or on a plane.
All right, anyone else? All right, thank you very much. Just a quick report from me about a field trip. A number of us went on to Waterloo, New York last week. I have appointments. Are you looking at me? Presentation. Yes, okay. And Jeff Smith, you want to come on up to the table while I just give this quick report about the Stu Stein Powerhouse that we dedicated the Waterloo Hydro Plant. That Tompkins County's 20-year purchasing agreement with Gravity Renewables enabled Gravity to invest in the program, invest in the facility so that a 100-year-old hydro plant could be refurbished and returned to active and productive and efficient service. And it was a great day to be able to tour that. Tour the facility that we've heard about for several years now and to sort of celebrate that. And Stu Stein, being the former legislator from the city of Ithaca and chair of this legislature, and basically recognized because it was his vision that created MEGA, the Municipal Electric and Gas Alliance, 20 or so years ago, and specifically helped to push MEGA into developing a renewable energy program so that MEGA helped put us in touch with Gravity Renewables, and it was an excellent a partnership that has really paid off for us. So that in 2017, I think it was 79% of our electricity for Tompkins County operations came from that hydro plant. So a direct investment that we made really brought that system back online and has enabled us to purchase completely renewable energy. And in fact, renewable enough that it was leaving Waterloo and went to the Seneca Falls plant. So the same water gets used over and over again, and it came from somewhere upstream as well. So it was a great day to be able to honor Stu. And also, I just want to thank Jonathan Wood for really being the spearhead on that project and making it happen and making sure we got a good financial deal and that the partnership really works. So thanks, Jonathan. So, Jeff, hello. Do we have, we don't want to do the screens?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to pull the screens down. You have slides in your packet as well.
Clean summer.
Welcome, Jeff. Jeff Smith is the Highway Director for Tompkins County, and we're delighted to have you come in and give us a tour, sort of a visual tour of our road projects this summer. Would you like, what kind of, do you want questions as you go along, or do you want us to save questions and come till the end?
I think this is actually a capital project update kind of thing, and there is some very relevant current projects underway, and I think because they're on this current page, if you want to ask the question when you have it, when it's up on the page, that'd probably be the best. So as we're going, I'll stop at the end of each project I have something to say about, and then that'd be a great time to ask questions. And then if you think of something and I've gone by it, I can go back or after the fact tomorrow or some other time if you come up with something, I can work to get an answer for you.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
So I was asked by Dave McKenna to come and give a presentation update on the capital projects that are underway and planned for the future years in Tompkins County. Go right to the next. Most of this information is contained on our quarterly reports.
Excuse me, Jeff. Faye, please. All right.
I'm tired of being treated like a deviant in this town. I'm really tired of it. I was thanking her.
Sorry, Jeff.
It's okay. No problem. Very passionate, I can tell. The County Highway Department submits a quarterly status report for capital projects every 3 months throughout the year. And this report tonight very closely models that, that of our last report, although I have some updates that are more current. As I go through, it's something to keep in mind, and not all of you have been on the F&I committee to have me go through this report. But if you are, if you do receive this report, just want to say, if you ever have any questions on anything you say in there, certainly please reach out to our office, and we'll work to get whatever answer you'd like to see. This opening page here just basically lists the projects that I'm going to go through. I'd like you to note that the asterisks, the single asterisks, are projects that are complete, but they're in what we would consider a closeout phase. So we're working on final estimates, final payments, and that sort of thing. Those are the top three. And then as you look down, you can see the double asterisks, and those are projects that we're planning on construction for this season. Those are things that are really keeping us busy right now. So we'll go to the next one. On these are kind of slides, but they're also pages in our quarterly report, and they're very similar. All of them are very similar. It contains the data, similar data, similar area. And I just thought it would be worth it for some people maybe not familiar that obviously the top is the title of the project. Up here, you can see where the cursor is, we have account information, a county share, you know, kind of a general location town, where it's located. If we're using consultant, that's listed there, functional class of the roadway, and then a traffic count. Small project description. We have some schedule information, some data as far as funding, our budget, and then if it's a shared project, how that breaks down, and then our other expenses as far as where we're going in the project. The quarterly report, when it changes from one quarter to another, the new stuff from the previous quarter is also highlighted in red. If you ever were looking at them and you see something in red, you'll note that that's a change from the previous quarter. So that's something that you can always draw your eyes to. I didn't do that in this presentation tonight. So on this, now that we've kind of got that out of the way, Game Farm Road, the bridge out there was completed last year. It's a huge improvement to that area. It was a long time coming. This project, to give you a little background, really kept taking second place to what projects were happening in the area, realizing that when this bridge was out, it was going to push a lot of projects into other areas, and then other projects, for instance, Pine Tree Road Path Project, was a high priority, and we had a lot of outsourced funding and stakeholders, so we wanted to get that done, and then other things, Ellis Hollow and things were going on. So we're glad to finally get this project started and finished. It was a really good project. Has an improvement to the parking area along the park, the trail system there. There is a bench located, and actually in this picture, it's too dark on the slide up there, but where the trail system is coming, there was a discussion with the trail groups that they would eventually prefer to have the trail actually go under the bridge. It was somewhat of a late design change, very small cost, to have the contractor actually lay large stone and pin them. So there is enough headroom and there is ability for a future trail to go under this bridge. We didn't make any kind of a trail improvement. There isn't a kind of a trail with two dead ends or anything in there, but there is a flat, and when I say bench, it's a flat grade where they can put a trail under to cross under the bridge. At this time, it pretty much terminates or begins and heads westerly into town, actually crosses at the Pine Tree area, and there's discussion and work of some groups trying to extend it out towards the Dryden direction.
Jeff, Were you going to talk about the no bids received for the second time?
I was.
Okay. It looked like you're about to switch.
Yep. No, thank you. As you can see highlighted here, during the development of the project and having Cornell as a stakeholder, they felt that it was important to, in the area on the Cornell side of the project, we agreed for a budget of about $25,000, reestablish or restore natural lands as determined by the Cornell Handbook for Restoration of Natural Habitat. And that has been, you can see here, we've had the bids out two different times. Both times we've received no bids. A recent development with this second time around, I emailed Cornell. I have a little concern, obviously, over what's going on here. We haven't had any feedback from there's been people picking up plans, but they aren't bidding. And this is a relatively small group of area landscapers that would do this type of work that specialize in this. And I'm not really sure why they're not participating. Maybe they're just really busy. We haven't been able to get feedback, like I said. But I propose to, as a stakeholder to this project, you can see in the above text, Cornell is paying us $250,000. This is out of that historical, some of the monies that we're getting from Cornell for infrastructure improvements. They've in an agreement, have given us $250,000. If we were to, say, reduce that by 25, and then maybe they could let the contract out, do something in-house with for that $25 and cents, it makes sense, and they may be able to progress the project in a better way, working with the area landscaping. That was my recent suggestion. I haven't heard back from them on what they thought about that. I did suggest that early in the process, and they didn't like it. They wanted us to administer and manage that part of that project as well as the whole bridge, but we'll see if they change their mind or not.
So Cornell put in $250,000 for the project?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
They haven't done that yet because we haven't completed our end of the agreement, which actually would be completion of this naturalized, natural planning area. So if you haven't been out there, and if you remember the old bridge, it's a large improvement to the area. Like I said before, Waterbury Bridge is another completed bridge. This is actually was completed a couple years ago. Reason for this being in here, no activity report, is that we're still working on kind of a final payment and that sort of thing. But for the most part, this was another really great project. We started with a arch bridge or arch structure, and through a historical process with the legislature, it was determined that it was worth trying to remain and keep that arch structure in place, and that's what it turned out being. Point I'd like to make on this is the monies that we had, we were able to stay well within budget, and we actually still have $586,000 remaining in that line item for that budget. It was nice that we were able to do that, keep it well under budget, and still retain that structure. Again, this is a fairly close to being completed project. This was two bridges, West Mallory Road and Red Mill Road bridges. You can kind of tell in the pictures there that the truss bridge on the left, the Mallory Road Bridge, had a rehab done to it. There's a new concrete deck. The trusses were painted. New safety railing, approach rail, whatnot, put through the area. That was done. And on the Red Mill Road site, there was a new two-lane structure built. And you can see that picture. This is another project that was a really, really good project to get to the point of completion, and this is recently completed end of last year, so there are still some punch list items and whatnot to be completed out there. is next one is Brooksondale Road slope stabilization. It's not so much a slope as a layer of subterranean clay that is being turned, and Six Mile Creek is just downhill from this, and it seems to be eroding the bottom of the creek, and it's actually rolling. We had a geological engineer study done, and it was found that by what we've historically done in this area, and what's going on is the road keeps settling or getting kind of slid and torn towards the river. And it's not something that you don't easily see, but if you look at certain areas of the road, simply where the white line is, there's like maybe a 6-inch little deviation in the white line, and where the road is sliding. I don't think it's anything that would ever happen in a sudden catastrophic event, but it's something that we obviously need to take care of. In the past, to fix it, what we've been doing is overlaying it with layers of asphalt to fix it and improve the rideability through that area. And what we've actually been doing, what was found in the study, is that by adding the weight to the top, was actually just kept pushing it down and kind of exasperating the problem. There's a few considerations for fixes in this area. We've actually learned about some new technology where they inject things into the soil and make it more stable. We haven't had other projects have really taken priority on this one, so we're hoping that in the time to come here in the next few months or next year, we'll be able to really assign some personnel and get something done out here. But we are closely monitoring it. Station Road stream restoration. This project was partially funded through a water quality improvement project. This is, for the most part, a stream project. This area was hit very, very hard, somewhat devastating by the June of 15 storm. Yep, June 2015's flooding. There was state bridges washed out upstream of this area. This whole area, there were a couple residences impacted by heavy rains and flooding. These immediate, really large culvert pipes, what we're doing as part of the project, and also a stream restoration project. It's a 50% cost share, so the DEC end of it is about $246,000. The county end is double that, so it's about a $500,000 project. We're looking to do that this year. We did have a public meeting in January, early March. It felt like January because there was about 6 inches of snow on the ground, and it was blowing, and the roads were bad, state road. And so the public was very receptive of this project. They all live right there in the area. They had a pretty good amount of people present at the meeting. They were glad to see that we were going to do something. The design openings are going to be quite larger, open box culverts with natural bottom, big enough to actually create a natural bottom, working through DEC and that permitting. There's also, as far as the money can go, we're going to be doing some stream improvements and alignment and whatnot. Be very closely, following our permit application with DEC to complete this project. Next one is in the town of Ulysses, South Street Extension slope stabilization. This is an area that is a slope that is being somewhat eroded by the Tagana Creek in the area, just down the hill. This, I've watched it progressively inch towards our county road out there. It's a problem. We really have applied for many sources of funding, trying to not utilize local funding to fix this problem, and we just haven't been successful. And I think it's at a point where we really need to move forward. That was about a year ago. We've since hired on an engineer. We have design completed. We've established two permanent easements with the landowners, and there's two landowners. They kind of own big, large portions of the hill. And we've completed that. At this time, we're working with DEC to complete that permit in order to be able to start the project. As soon as we arrive at are given a permit by DEC, we'll be able to let this project out to bid. It's really an earth-moving project. There's some structural stone and controlled drainage that will be, you know, portioned as you work your way up the slope. Like I said, once we get the permit from DEC, we'll be progressing this summer, hopefully soon. Bostwick Road, this is an older project. There's a large 6-foot-plus storm drain that runs across the back of our yard. It's buried under. We have large bins that we store our material, 1Bs, gravel, things like that. It runs right under that. There's a couple. It's connected to some of our site drainage as far as our parking areas and equipment storage areas. The pipe itself is made of cut. They cut the ends off rail tanker cars. We've looked at many different ways of repairing it. This was a, I'm not sure where they arrived at the estimate for the number. We're really hoping to not need the entire amount of that. We're really looking at a lot of cost saving measures. Part of this drainage facility runs under the employee parking lot. So as we're doing and working on those part of the improvements, we're going to ultimately end up with a paved parking lot. And we're kind of working on all that stuff. We are progressing this project in-house. And again, because of that, we're kind of somewhat taking second to some of these other projects that are more seasonal, required, or stakeholder or other forms of funding that are going on. So there's more of a strict timeline. But I think that we will be at least be improving the drainage in the parking lot this summer, and paving it is the plan.
Jeff, can I ask you a question?
Yep.
So you're saying the design is in-house. Would the construction also be in-house or out?
We're looking at the construction portion of the drainage. We have actually fixed a little bit of this upper end near the Culver Road. We have done some work in-house there. The construction, most of it would be done in-house. If we decided to have a vendor come in, it would maybe do the finished paving of the parking lot, and that would really only be done in a reason for a timing of the year, and maybe looking at our resources in-house. We do have a paver. We do have the ability to pave it, and we would be comparing the cost of the two, making sure that we had good cost numbers from the vendor if we did decide to go that route.
And I'm still willing to learn how to drive the bigger trucks if
okay.
That's something that you can talk about later.
Yeah, later. Next one is County Ellis Hollow Road in Phase 4 reconstruction. A little history with this piece of road. When we were doing Phase 2 Ellis Hollow, at that time, we had, as a stakeholder listed on the project throughout the design and whatnot, we were hoping to cost share a pretty large amount, $600,000 from Cornell. Late in the process, we were informed that the projects, including this one, and there were a few other that were affected. I don't think there were any other ones that were this far along or that close to construction, were informed that they weren't able to pay that portion. So we had to, you know, decide whether or not to do any of the project or scale it back and make it affordable. We actually did scale it back further than that from this piece to make sure that it fit into an engineering estimate. And when we let out the bids, we left another quarter mile as an alternate. And we were able to come up with more local funding to get this far, but not to do the whole piece. So in essence, what we're looking at is a shorter piece. It's about 3/10 of a mile. It is in really poor condition. The rest of the road on either side does have paved shoulders. This one is kind of a narrow, typical 21, 22-foot wide county road, and then the pavement is pretty potholed. The plan up until recently, and we're kind of reevaluating it, the plan up until recently was that, as you'll see further on in the presentation, there's also an Ellis Hollow Phase 3, which is the piece going from Game Farm Road down to short of Pine Tree, but down towards East Hill. And through other processes, that project has been pushed out because of funding, and I'll get to that later, and other projects in the area. And the thought was that we pushed this out once, and at the time we were going to be able to bid it and then bid the two together and get some economy of costs and do it as a large project. The fact that we've been pushing out Ellis Hollow 3, we're now starting to evaluate, and maybe, and I believe next summer we'll need to do something out here, at least to do this little piece of road. So that's kind of where we're at with this.
So just a little history. About 2007, Cornell had announced, President David Scorton announced a major
local initiative.
Commitment, local initiative of $10 million for highways, roads and highways, bridges and highways, and $10 million for housing. That was about a minute before the recession hit. And they... I'm being snarky there, but they had developed a good plan for sharing costs on a lot of roads and bridges that were right around the campus. So, for example, they put a lot of money into the Forest Home bridges, and they did. That's where the money for Game Farm Road came from, that allocation. And they put something into Pine Tree. Road, right?
Yep.
So that's what Jeff is talking about, the $600,000 from Cornell, and that. So that was one of the projects that didn't fit in by the time it came around time to do it. The money was not available.
Right.
So I would say this, your calendar here says 2020. I mean,
yep.
It's really very dangerous right now. Is there at least going to be short-term repairs?
And 2020 was in coordination with the Phase 3. That's why, and up until recently, that was going to be 2019. That's gone out to 2020. Now we need to rethink when we're going to do this piece.
Yeah, I really worry about waiting till a summer from now. It's in really bad shape.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
There's another bridge just around the corner from Game Farm Road that we are looking to go to construction this year. It's in design. We've had approval from F&I to seek construction bids. We're working on putting the bid book together and getting coordinated with purchasing and putting it out to bid. Should be, I would guess, happening within the next few weeks, trying to capture the early bidding season. Hopefully we can get good bid numbers, and if we do, I'll be going to F&I and ultimately the legislature to accept a little bid. This is the federal aid, FHWA project portion of the report or the presentation. Right now we presently have four projects that are on the TIP. The TIP is managed through the ITCTC, Ithaca Tompkins County Transportation Council. And the couple of points of interest that we're actually looking for future funding, points of interest down here, there has been a second Brown, and I think this was pretty well advertised that I'm reporting out. Everyone was aware that the state had offered a second round of Bridge New York request for projects. These projects are 95% funded, and then the culverts are 100% funded. The bridge and culvert applications can be filled out. They're limited number, how many you can fill out. This is encompassing 2 years. Normally they're two per year, so it's been 2 years, so we get to submit four bridge projects. And also six culvert projects per county, and then towns are also eligible for this funding. The county, we have, was a little bit different this year, if I can speak just for a moment, that the state was a little clearer on what projects would score higher in the application process. And they actually, we don't know what the formula is, but they gave us the ability to ask them what the number would be on a ranking system. And as we submitted various application and bridges, we did submit the highest ranking bridges that we have chance of being funded for. That's a very short version of what's actually going on, but I tried to be very short. So the four bridges that we submitted were Falls Road over Tagannett Creek in the town of Ulysses. If you're familiar with that, that's a large stone fascia concrete arch structure. It's right upstream from the Tagannett Creek pull-off there. It's just outside the village of Ulysses. Pretty large structure. Etna Lane over Fall Creek in the town of Dryden. That's a steel deck right outside Etna. You can actually see it as you go by on 366 to the left, where the large the post office is. Central Chapel Road over Boise Creek in the town of Caroline. And then we also have Newfield Depot Road over Cayuga Inlet West Branch in the town of Newfield. Those are four structures. Hopefully we are awarded and successful of obtaining some funding for those bridges. This is the funding that the town of Dryden was awarded the two bridges in, just to be clear. They were awarded George Road and Freese Road. This is the same type of funding. The county submitted our own culverts. We had a couple on Pine Tree Road, Ellis Hollow Road, Conlin Road, Peruville Road, Valley Road, and Coddington Road. These projects are, and the bridges are a pretty long application. There's quite a bit of engineering that needs to go into submitting them. We do have a PE on staff, Carl Martell, Assistant Highway Director, and he's able to review. A lot of the other counties and towns aren't able to do that without hiring a PE. They did require a PE to have a review. Also like to let everybody know, we helped and worked with some of the towns in the area. The town of Ulysses submitted an application for Cemetery Road over Trumansburg Creek. And then we also helped with some culvert applications. Village of Dryden, towns of Newfield, Danby, and Enfield, Ulysses all submitted culvert applications with our assistance.
Jeff, do you know when to expect to hear back from the state on these?
It's either, I believe it's going to be late fall or January is when, yeah.
Thank you.
That's what they've anticipated.
Jeff, you said the Falls Road Bridge. I'm not familiar with it. You said stone bridge.
It's the as you travel across it, it has parapet walls.
And they're upstream from the main falls.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't always realize that it's a county bridge, but it's got some neat architecture.
So how do you repair that? Is it you leave?
You'll have to have some masonry, some stone masons. Yeah, repointing, reuse of stone. It's a really good one for this program because it is on the higher end of repairing and rehabilitating or replacing. So getting into our federal aid projects that are up and coming, I think most of you are somewhat familiar with Coddington Road intersection at Burns. This project is right now, we are highly anticipating obligation of funds coming out of Albany. The request has been made. We've been pestering the state, Region 3 and Syracuse. It's been a few weeks. They've said it's going to be another week a couple times. As soon as we get obligation, everything else is waiting to go. This is another project where we've been working with purchasing and Lisa Hall and really getting this thing ready to go out the door, trying to capture that early bidding season. So this is another project that's this summer. Um, East Hill Intersection Improvement Project. You can see multiple notes saying 5A below. I'm going to drop right down to that. This is kind of a big topic for discussion. I think most of you are aware. I attended a small meeting a few weeks ago. Still waiting for the minutes to come out so I can share them around. But the project schedule, East Hill Village, if you will, East Hill Plaza, the meeting I attended was a conversation of kind of highway and transportation people. They wanted to kind of get our early thoughts and ideas and kind of what we were talking about at this intersection, knowing that there's a lot of changes coming up. And based on that idea, the fact that we have a little bit of a funding, we have a little funding to address how people cross the road up there. We're not sure where that's going to mostly make sense. We don't. I did ask about a schedule. I believe they said that they anticipate shovels in the ground as early as 2020. I think that doing something along this line to improve lighting and safety crossing is a little bit short-sighted, only have it be there for a few years and then possibly be in the wrong location, whatnot. So we're kind of waiting to see what happens, and hopefully this can be a piece of that grand, you know, project that's being proposed out there. I think all of you are aware, and I know there's a lot going on and a lot of decisions to be made, but so this project is kind of just sitting on the shelf, waiting to go.
Anna,
how long can we sit on any funding support?
Yeah, normally it's 10 years, and I will be keeping track of that and making sure we don't. You can apply for extensions if there's a good reason to.
If they take pity on us.
Yeah, they. We're fine there, I know, right now for a number of years. And if it ever does get to that later years, you know, as long as you start communicating and you have good reason why it's sat there, I think this is a pretty good reason why we aren't moving the project forward.
But, of course, the dollars don't go up even though the years go by.
Yeah, and, you can kind of see by the funding, this is a relatively lower project. This was an HSIP safety funding. I should have mentioned that. Also, the Coddington Road was a federally funded. That's through the HSIP, which is Highway Safety Improvement Program. Those are grants that we wrote in our department that we were awarded. This one, in this case, it was geared at simply putting up a couple of HOC, and that stands for something. Don't ask me what it is, but basically what they are is, they're red lights that sit out over the road, and they're pedestrian actuated. So when someone gets to the crosswalk, they push the button, the lights turn red, and then you're free to walk across with no traffic confusion. And they're located at, kind of mid-block crossings, but they're a lot safer, as you can imagine, for pedestrians to cross. There was some, accident history here, and because of those different factors, we were awarded this project. Just haven't been able to do much with it and have it make sense in the long term. Ellis Hollow Road, Phase 3, this is what we kind of were talking about earlier. Really, at this time, there's no activity report. Through an audit of the Hanshaw Road project, it was discovered that prior to 2012, there was extra money spent in some of the design phases of the project, and it was actually eligible for reimbursement. So, number one, we had to come up with the money and settle the books on the end of our finance department, and then we're now in the process of receiving that reimbursement. We had to work quite a bit. This was last summer with the ITCTC and through Rick's office, F&I, and the legislature. So, the money for Ellis Hollow was on the tip in the amount, you can see it's $512,000, and the only place that we could get it to put it back into Hanshaw Road was this project. There are, it's very high priority. It's not something it sounds a little earth-shattering, but it's not something that has never happened, and it doesn't routinely happen, but it is something that happens at the ITCTC level, where you're taking from one project to completing and closing out another one, and then as projects move forward and new funding comes out, these projects that were shorted will be on a priority list to get the funding back.
So the cost overrun was in design on the Hanshaw Road project?
Yes.
And they moved money from this one to that to take... Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yep. Next one is a project that's kind of new. It's in design. We're looking to have our first public meeting soon. It's scheduled mid-May, coming up in a few weeks. This is down in the little hamlet of Ludlowville. This is a fairly narrow steel deck bridge. Like I said, this is a federal aid funded project. There will be utility coordinations. There's a water line. You can see the picture. You can see it's on the narrow side. There's quite a bit of fishermen, walkers, and pedestrians alike in the area. The one thing about this bridge is we need to coordinate it around the large state bridge that's downstream next to Lansing School. We don't want to be doing them at the same time. Yep, the fishing pull-off is just to the left of the picture, lower left. Exactly. And that's it, folks.
Thank you very much, Jeff. Mike Lane.
Jeff, this has been particularly helpful. Dave, thank you for arranging this. Sometimes we forget when we're sitting here talking about various things at the national level, or we forget that the bricks and mortar stuff that we're doing here every day at the county level. So I'm really pleased to have this presentation, be able to hear it tonight. Two things. You mentioned that your department had been helping some of the smaller towns and villages about their applications for the bridge and culvert programs, and I know the village of Dryden particularly was so thrilled that you helped them. They have almost no staff to work on things like that, and they really appreciated what your department did for them. And the other thing I wanted to mention, too, we haven't talked much about city bridges, but cities are like counties in that they get to apply separately. And it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the city of Ithaca is applying for bridge funding as well.
I would guess they would be eligible, yes, and I would guess that they are. They would have people on staff able to fill out those applications and get them submitted.
Yeah, at ITC, yeah. TCC, they mentioned that they're working on that.
Okay.
Jeff, is Bridge New York some kind of new money or from the state, or does it replace formula-based funding?
It's really, it's kind of a tough answer, tough question to answer, because you do find where you don't have the same level of funding in other sources, and then you get this new source of funding with new rules. I can say that, there's a lot of advocacy efforts done by our association and the town association statewide to build these programs, the culvert program especially, but to start getting more funding out of Albany that was really focusing on local bridges. The state regions in the past used to kind of, some of them were really good at addressing local bridges, and other ones were somewhat stingy and really focused on the state system. This money is a little different in that it's focused on local bridges. So in a way it's new because of the focus, but it's still the same money that's kind of been out there going to the regions in the past.
All right. Ann?
I want to thank Jeff for the – I don't think we've seen you since you gave the – Four of us, a great tour around.
Five
of us. There was five of us crammed in there.
It was a full truck.
What are you talking about? We were in the back seat.
Thank you for the tour for the five of us to see all the current projects. It was really helpful to see them firsthand. And
always up for that option. Anyone's ever interested in going out and looking at something, you can certainly let me know.
Fun.
Thank you. Dave McKenna.
Jeff, thank you very much for your presentation and for taking time to put it together. One thing I would like to see, perhaps at the next FNI meeting or the one after that, whichever time allows, is a listing of all the county bridges and the condition that they are all in compared, you know, so we have an overall list.
Yep, good idea. Yeah, that's easy. Yeah. So this photograph is, just want to say, like, how lucky I am and thank you for, I enjoy working here, and this is the view I get every day I walk into work. So.
Looks like it's snowing, at sunrise, right? Is that what you're trying to say? You're trying to show off that you're there at sunrise.
It's a good spot.
We appreciate it. Thanks so much, Jeff, for all that you do.
Thank you.
All right, this has been great. All right, we're going to roll the screens back up. Thank you. Thanks very much. So, on to County Administrator's Report. Sorry to bother you.
That's all right. Not at all. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't have much to report other than this Friday is the final date for Deputy County Administrator resumes to be due and applications. As of last Friday, we had 26 applicants, which was quite a bit. Yeah. So, I would expect probably a bunch more between now and the end of the week. That's all I have to report.
And the process you're going through?
Process, you know, we have an internal team put together. I've asked Jonathan to join us for that group of department heads. We'll go through a series of phone interviews to narrow the list down, followed with some written submissions and scenarios, then followed by personal interviews of finalists to be followed by a meet and greet with other department heads as well as meet and greet with the legislature. So,
all right.
Good, thorough process. Looking forward to it. And go from there.
Okay. Thank you, Jason. Any questions? Great. County Attorney Jonathan Wood.
I'm going back to the traditional no report.
But are there any questions for Jonathan? Thank you, Jonathan. Rick Snyder, Finance Director.
I have two things to report on tonight. One is sales tax, because it's been a while. And if you turn to page 20 in your packet, those four pages 20 to 24 show our sales tax for March, and it also shows our sales tax for the quarter, the first quarter. The first report for sales tax distribution looks just at the month of March, and that particular month was down 0.14% compared to March of last year. At the end of March, the distributions for the county's portion were $8,372,724 compared to $8,129,511 in 2017. This represents an increase of $243,213 year over year or year to date, or 2.99%. Last year at the same time, we ended the year with an increase of 6.22% over the previous year. So I just wanted to, I don't usually give that stat, but I wanted you to see how large last March was as an aberration, peaking a high for any one particular month. So, but yet March did not do too well. But when we turn the page and look at the same report on the quarterly basis, and the only difference between these two charts is the first one, of course, just looks at March in the left-hand columns. And in the second report, we're looking at the total first quarter, the first 3 months. For the first quarter of 2018, we're up 2.99% compared to last year. And that's also the same as the year-to-date column because they are identical figures. We prepared a lot of this information right around the same time as Jason was putting together our April kickoff for the budget last week. So we did not know when he was putting a lot of that together just where we were going to be at. We don't normally make a lot of adjustments to the budget at this point in time until after we get the first 6 months under our belts. So by the time Jason begins to put final touches on the budget and begins to put something presentable to you for September, we'll easily have a good 6 months under our belts. I believe the budget, as he's put it together at this point in time, is basically using 2017 actuals as the data points, which is very conservative. But 2017 was a very good year. So we'll see as time goes on, as we get one more quarter under our belts, if we're going to make any sizable changes to the budget going forward for 2019. And then, of course, the last report that I always throw in here at the end of each quarter is the sales tax by quarter report that goes back all the way to 1997. And you can see the last few years if you want to compare quarter to quarter. Any questions on sales tax before I move on to the next subject? Okay. I'd like to talk a little bit tonight about our auction that's coming up in June. For those who have been on the legislature for a while, you know that we work on foreclosure properties starting in January all the way up through June. And my report tonight, which is on page 26 through 30 of your agenda, it shares with you some of the properties that we are in the process of foreclosing upon. And when we first run this list, we're in the 300 number of properties where people have not come forward and paid their taxes. For residential properties, this is 3 years of back taxes. We don't bring them to foreclosure until they're 3 years behind. For commercial vacant properties, it's 1 year. But what I wanted to show you tonight is that the list was quite small this year. And when we first generated the list, we were in the around 30 that was left over from that much larger list. And by the time we usually take some of these properties to the GO committee and to the PDEC committee so they can look at them. Many of the properties are evaluated by members of the planning staff. Some of you who are on GO committee or PDEC committee, you're familiar with the properties that get pulled each year for conservation purposes or historical purposes, or if there's some kind of need that the county wants to not auction that property, they'd rather retain it and develop it or keep it for conservation purposes or whatever purposes. This year, we only had one of those properties on the list. And as soon as Scott Doyle had done his memo and had taken it to GO, the very next day, that property was redeemed. So there's really no properties that we're bringing to your attention this year for withholding from auction for other conservation reasons. Now, if you look at my memo here, I've also attached to the memo a two-page listing of comments or notes on auction properties. I've updated this since last week. In your red folders, there's an updated version with these two pages that says notes for auction properties. They were highlighted, the changes that I made, because since last week when I put the original memo together and today, we had our auction tour on this past Thursday. You might ask me, what is an auction tour? Well, that's when Jay Franklin and I and the auctioneer and one of his staff, we get to go around and drive the whole county, and we look at each property. The auctioneers develop with pictures and a narrative an advertisement which they will later post on their website for if and when those properties are not redeemed, they will be taken to auction. At that same time, it's my duty to talk to people and to, even though they've been constantly notified by certified letter, regular mail, phone calls, and the like, we try to track down relatives. We use the post office to find forwarding addresses. We do everything within our power to make sure these people have been noticed, whether they're vacant property or residential properties. So when Jay and I go around to these properties, we knock on doors, and at that point I take a lot of notes, because one of the questions that has come up by the legislature and the GO committee in the past is, what are the owner-occupied properties? Most concern has been on, not that we don't care about the rental properties or that we don't care about people who have homes that are vacant, but we're mostly concerned about the owner-occupied properties. We don't keep that information in-house at the finance department level. Sometimes we have notes in the file if we dealt with a particular customer over a long period of time. But when I first generated this list, I didn't have a lot of the additional notes. So what I've added to this two-page list is all the other comments that I thought would be pertinent about which ones were vacant, which ones were falling down. There's two or three homes that are literally just caved in and falling down. So if you look at my memo, it says that the auction will be on June 18th. So I'd like you to pencil that on your calendar if you're interested to see how we conduct the auction. That's always on a Monday night. And the previous Monday night, 1 week before that, is a get-to-know-you auction preview, where we bring in citizens who are interested in getting involved in perhaps buying at the auction, and they've never been to an auction before. So we set the stage, and we do that where we run through all the properties that are going to be auctioned the following week. And for people who haven't been in an auction before, it's very helpful, because the auctioneer is there and he kind of tells them how it's going to go. And it's pretty interesting if you've never been to one before. And I've given you the information there as to where it is and when it is. One of the residential properties just since last week has been redeemed. So we're down to 10 residential properties, not 11, and 8 vacant commercial properties. Out of those 10 residential properties, in my visit to each and every one, I've been able to determine that 5 are owner-occupied or they're lived in by a family member. So just 5 out of the 10 that are residential properties is owner-occupied or somebody related to them living there. The other 5 are empty, vacant, and like I said before, in some cases they're ready to demolish. They're about falling down in their disrepair. One of the things I've listed on this memo as something new for this year is that we're outwardly and very expressively telling everyone that we have a last day of redemption that we want to make very clear to people. And I haven't always announced that at a public meeting, but that last day in which, after which we're going to foreclose upon the property and the county will take ownership, that day this year is May 18th. So if you know anybody on the list and you have that spreadsheet, which is the last two spreadsheets, which is those last two pages of the memo, and if there's anybody in your district, if there's anybody in your town, in the past legislators wanted to know who is in my area that I may have to reach out to, that's all provided to you. And the most important thing that you can know if you're attempting to find those people or talk to them is the last day for redemption is May 18th this year. And I think that pretty much covers it. I'm not going to go through each and every comment on the notes about auction, because some of those are kind of about the property itself, and I don't really think we need to share that. Oh, one last thing. If you want to go online and look at the properties and read up about them, they're not online right now, but about a month before the auction, which is around the 21st of May, and I'll remind this the committees as I go to different committee meetings, you can go to ReynoldsAuction.com reynoldsauction.com. That's R-E-Y-N-O-L-D-S, auction, all one word, .com. And that's the company that lists Tompkins County as one of the entities it auctioneers for. Once you go to that website, you go to the tab auction schedule, and then they'll have a complete listing of who they're doing auctions in a chronological order. You just go down and you click on Tompkins County, and you'll get the full list with pictures of the property, narrative of the property, and some other information that we provide about each and every parcel. So that might be helpful for you to know. And I get phone calls a lot where people want to know what's on your auction and for this year. It's not available right now, but it will be available in about 3 weeks, around May 21st. And that's all I have on the auction. I'll take any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Rick. I've got Anna, and then Ann.
First one, pretty quick, the June 18th for the auction, where and when is that?
It's at Green Star, the space at Green Star, 700 West Buffalo Street, Ithaca, New York. And it starts at 7, and the registration is at, you can start coming in to register at 6 o'clock p.m.
And the other question is actually on the previous section. I had a note for myself, and I just missed it. And when you were doing the tax distribution, and you have... and this is just not knowing how to read this. On page 23, you have 2009, 10, 11, 12, and there's a bolded line that says budgeted, and there's an amount.
Yes.
And my brain was thinking that amount should equal the sum total received in the first line, which is significantly higher. So that total received is the county, town, and city, correct? And so the budgeted amount is just the comparison.
You're looking at the one that breaks it down by quarter, right? The historical one that's 2 pages long?
Right.
The budgeted amount is simply the amount that the county administrator placed in the county budget for what our estimate was for the year. And then you can compare the total there, the county only share total, you can compare that to that budgeted figure. So if you're looking at 2018, it says budgeted,
yep.
$34,223,546. You can be able to track that second column, county only share, and see how we are doing compared to that number.
Got it.
All throughout the year.
Just saw that. Thanks.
Ann?
Thank you, Rick, for the presentations. My question was regarding... So the vacant properties, you're not listing a house number, and I'm presuming that's when they're vacant, so I'm presuming that's to decrease crime. Is that correct?
A lot of times vacant property, there isn't a house number. If it's a vacant piece of property, we have it listed by a parcel ID number, but there isn't always a address. Sometimes there isn't. Jay Franklin can speak to it when they give an address. Sometimes there's a number associated with it because maybe there was a residence on that property at a particular point in time. So therefore, there might be an address. But sometimes there is and sometimes there isn't.
Can I ask a follow-up question?
Sure. Yeah.
So by vacant, you might mean there might be no improvements on the property, no structure. Okay. So... then my next question would be, so if a property is vacant, are we opening something up by telling people that there's houses that are vacant around the county?
It's not houses, it's just land.
When it says vacant commercial, if you're looking at the spreadsheet that says vacant commercial or the notes that says vacant, that doesn't mean that there's a house that's vacant. It means the property is
not improved.
Classified vacant. There's nothing on it. It's not improved, or it hasn't been improved for a long time.
And then on the next page where there's notes, I didn't read through every single one, so all of those are occupied. I thought you said there was 5 occupied
mm-hmm.
by a relative or.
Yeah.
So, but they're all occupied by somebody.
No.
It's
I mean, if we go down through the list there for residential, the first one, there's somebody there I was able to speak with. The second one, there's nobody there. I could tell that it's being handled by a management company. It looks like it's condemned, but there's nobody there. So it's not owner-occupied. The third one is owner-occupied. I have no notes there. The fourth one is vacant. I could tell. The fifth one is being lived in. The sixth one is a couple of dwellings on this property. They are one of them, as I wrote there, the cabin has completely caved in. The roof is caved in upon itself. And there's another dwelling in the back that we couldn't even walk to because it was so overgrown. The next one's vacant. The next one's with, I left a letter with the owner. The next one, the house is vacant. The next one, I left a letter with the husband. And the last one was redeemed and is no longer on the list. But so these are the notes that I kind of take so that within the next week or two after the tour, if anybody starts to call and wants to somehow get this taken care of, I can pretty know which four or five properties that I'm going to be dealing with, because a lot of these other ones, we're not going to hear anything from anybody, because, I mean, I could be surprised. Somebody could call from Florida or Oregon and say, I want to redeem this. How do I do it? It's vacant property. But does that answer your question, Ian?
Yes, it's still just, to me, a little confusing.
Yeah.
You're using the word vacant in two different ways.
Yeah.
So maybe, to me, I would use, I mean, I'm not doing your job as a home inspector like I would.
I used that word three different ways in the same memo just to confuse you. I mean,
thank you for that. Makes me think.
Does commercial indicate it's zoned commercial? Or it says vacant / commercial.
Zoned.
I mean, it,
that's not my expertise on how it's zoned. I can't answer that. That's a planning question. But, I mean, according to our assessment office, they break them into either residential, one category, one big bucket, or commercial and vacant, the other big bucket.
Got it. Okay. So it's Jay we have to blame for the confusion on this.
Yeah.
I see.
Rick's just following orders.
Okay. Mike Lane?
It's actually New York State which designates what the codes are for the different properties.
Okay.
But you know, I am so proud of our process here that we do. Rick, having this down to 10 properties, other counties have sometimes scores or hundreds of properties that are in default. And we have always worked so hard, and I know your office does that, to just take these tours, make contact with people, because the last thing we want to do is put people out of their home. We want to give them every opportunity to be able to redeem it or figure out how to work out a payment or something. So thank you again this year for the work you're doing on it.
Yes, thank you, Rick. And I want to ask, so the last day to redeem is a full month before the auction.
Correct.
I'm sorry, I thought we usually used to redeem like somebody walks into the auction with a check.
We've had a lot of problems with that in the last year, and that you can come up with a last day to redeem as a policy or as an announcement so that you can officially transfer the property into the county's name with plenty of time. It takes the county attorney's office and getting it before a judge and getting a judge to sign it. And we like to have more lead time to get that done in decent order and not have to go back and redo it again. And so we're going to try it this year and see how that works. I pretty much got this notion from the way other counties are doing it and treasurers doing it. And I thought we could learn by their good example and ways to improve.
Okay.
So you have a clean title to convey at the auction?
We don't go there.
Okay.
We just we don't confirm or reject any title exposures or anything like that.
Okay.
Dan.
I was just going to add, and there's also an auctioneer's fee that they charge us at a certain point. So if we
right.
let someone redeem it at the last minute, we've incurred expenses
right.
that we have to somehow make up.
Exactly.
Thank you very much. That's very, very helpful, Rick. And, you know, I think it's a tough process, but I think you handle it very compassionately. So thank you very much. Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda?
Yes.
Dave.
Bear with me for a moment. I have ID 7761, awarded bid for Tompkins Center for History and Culture Code and Building Improvement Project.
That's moved by Dave, seconded by Ann. So we need to vote to put it on the agenda. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? That's unanimous. And Resolution K, that's just the revision, is that right? So, yeah, okay. All right, anything to be withdrawn? All right, I'm going to go through the consent agenda, and if you have anything to pull off, just you can shout out. Okay, Resolution A, budget adjustments and transfers for 2018, Department of Recycling and Materials Management, ID 7770. Resolution B, audit of final payment to Tower Roofing Company Incorporated for the Airport Administration Crash Fire Rescue Building Roof, Ithaca Tompkins Regional Airport, ID 7771. Resolution C, budget adjustment to increase consolidated highway improvement program, CHIPS funding, extreme winter recovery, and pave New York apportionments, Highway Department, ID 7774. Resolution D, award of spring. Resolution E, spring 2018 tourism project grants, ID 7783. Resolution F, award of spring 2018 new tourism initiative grants, ID 7784. Resolution G, award of spring.
Off, please.
Is that G?
Yes.
Okay. Award of, all right. Resolution H, award of 2018 tourism capital grants, Tompkins County Area Development, ID 7786. Resolution I, award of first round of 2018 strategic tourism implementation funding, ID 7788. And Resolution J, resolution urging the federal government to maintain strong corporate average fuel economy or CAFE standards and support California's effort challenging the proposed federal CAFE standards rollback, ID 7806. Is there a motion to put the consent agenda on? Moved by Leslin, seconded by Anna. But first we're going to add the appointment. I couldn't find it. I knew there was one here. To the Environmental Management Council, Genevieve Shipley is the only appointment. So with that inclusion, Leslin moves, Anna seconds. All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? Thank you. It's unanimous. So I will go to the Housing Committee for my report, a report from the Housing Committee. The committee hasn't met since the last legislature meeting. The next meeting's on May 21st at 3 o'clock. I did want to mention that I copied you all and a few other sort of housing advocates and providers on a message last week about in response to HUD Secretary Ben Carson's proposal to make some radical changes in housing funding of subsidies for people receiving assistance. After a flurry of emails, we really became clear that this proposal from the HUD secretary is a proposal. It needs to be approved by Congress. It needs, in fact, to be championed clearly by somebody in Congress. And the people who are sort of really working hard in this field have a sense that there really isn't likely to be a champion, or at least we should kind of hold fire on that a little bit.
But I did get a lot of information in from, for example, Brenda Westfall, the Ithaca Housing Authority, and Lee Dillon from Tompkins Community Action on how these proposals would really hurt families, and certainly including our residents. So I will be drafting a letter, and I'll send that out to everybody for comment and try to see if we can get a variety of people to sign that letter and then send that in to our lawmakers. But at this point, we'll hold off on anything like a press conference. But I did want to let you know that I thought it was important for us to take a position on this, especially it's not an executive order that we couldn't really affect. It's something where our members of Congress and the Senate should really hear from us. So stay tuned on that, but that's where we think we'll leave it for now. But you'll see a draft from me in a few days. Any questions on that? Thank you very much. Public Safety Committee, Rich John, Chair.
Thank you, Martha. The Public Safety Committee has not met since our last meeting. We're scheduled to meet tomorrow at 3 o'clock. And we will hear a couple of reports, I think, of some interest. One is regarding the reentry program that we funded last year, and we're getting our initial feedback on how that program is rolling out. So we'll probably spend about 20 minutes on that. We're also having the nurses come in from the jail. As you may recall, we added a nurse position to make sure we were providing adequate medical care at the jail, and we're going to hear from them as well. There is an added resolution from the district attorney I anticipate coming regarding classification of the positions over there. So that's tomorrow at 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Rich. Any questions for Rich? All right, thank you very much. Health and Human Services Committee, Shauna Black, Chair.
We have also not met since the last legislative meeting. Our upcoming meeting will be Monday, May 14th at 4 p.m. Sue Del Hall will come in from the Child Development Council and will be giving a presentation.
Thanks, Shauna. Any questions? All right. We're not going to roll all the way through all of these, but thank you very much. Facilities and Infrastructure, Dave McKenna, Chair.
Thank you. I have a couple of resolutions to move forward. One is Resolution K, as revised by the committee. Authorize an amendment to the capital program to increase the project costs of the Tompkins County or Tompkins Center for History and Culture building improvements and project to cover the cost of general work contract, mechanical contract, and electrical contract. And I so move.
Seconded by Rich. Dave, you want to introduce this?
So basically, this is just an increase in cost because of the quoting of the project, the fact that the contractors are busy, and has increased the overall cost of the project by, I actually don't have the number right in front of me right at the moment, but it's somewhere around $400,000.
$45,100.
Okay. So that's basically what it amounts to. And this is to increase the budget for that project to cover those costs.
Any questions, discussion? So the capital program is its own sort of document, its own plan, that it's written as a 20-year plan. And when we vote to accept it, we need two-thirds of the legislature to accept it. And when we vote to change it, we also need two-thirds of the legislature to approve that because we're really encumbering future legislators, actually, to capital projects and to borrowing and all that. So we, by our own rules, have established a higher bar than usual for such approvals. So just wanted to make that point and make sure that the public knows that this is so the net project, the net cost to Tompkins County will be $2,795,100, and that's what we're approving, and approving that the
correct numbers get put into the capital plan reflecting the bids that we've gotten. Deborah?
Martha, I just wanted to ask, does that include the cost of the building?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Ann Corman.
I would, thank you, Martha. I would just like to correct your number. You said
2,795,100.
Okay, I thought you said 2,009,000 something. Okay, so $2,795,100. Okay.
Right. That's what I meant to say. I don't know whether I did or not, but Rich.
I would just say it's unfortunate that the bids came in high, but this is an investment in a building we're going to own. So we do need to make the investment to make the building usable for the center. So.
And one other thing is it's a fact that the contractors in this area are quite busy, and that's the reason for the increased cost is they just can't spread themselves thin enough. So if you want it done, you have to pay for it. And unfortunately, we have to pay for it.
It's also true, I don't want to get to the friendly amendment that we had a slight language change, but it's also true, I sat in on the earlier meeting of the budget and facilities committees and heard Arell talk about the chase he went on to try to even get anybody to bid, that usually he'll expect up to six bids on a project, and he was lucky to get two on each of the subcontracts that we'll talk about on the next resolution. But it's also true that we really couldn't wait on this because the History Center, their lease runs up when?
End of the year.
End of this year. So we really want to make a new home for them. So, Rich, you had at committee made a change in the language of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 whereas?
Yes, if I can remember what I said then.
I've got it written down, Rich, if you want me to do it.
Oh, do you have the exact language?
Yeah, as done by our people here at the
Co. Oh, yeah.
Okay, basically, it crossed out, has now been revised to A, and is changed. And now it reads, is being delivered as a portion of the $500,000 grant from the State Municipal Facilities Program, SAM.
Okay, has everybody got that? No? Or yeah?
On page one, where is
it? Oh, that's on page one, at the first dot there.
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Everybody satisfied?
I would consider my own comments friendly.
All right. So, that was how it was passed by committee. So I just wanted to make sure that was articulated. So if anybody's following along at home. All right. Anything else? Are we ready to vote? All right. All in favor of this resolution, please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's one opposed. So that is 12-1. And this passes to amend the capital program. Thank you very much. And Dave, that.
Okay. The other resolution that I have is resolution J, or I guess it's L. ID 7761. And that is the award of bid Tompkins Center for History and Culture Code and Building Improvements Project. And I would move that.
Seconded by Ann. Are there any questions or is there any discussion here? All right. It's a tough crowd. All in favor, ready to vote? Please raise your hand. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
And for the rest of my report, F and I did meet back on the 17th and pretty much talked about the resolutions that have been on the table this evening, both on the consent agenda and the ones that we're talking about now.
Thank you very much, Dave. Transportation Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
We haven't met since our last legislature meeting, but we will meet again on Friday, this coming Friday, May 4th at 9 o'clock a.m. We will be talking about the TCAT proposals and various studies that they're working on for their projects. and we hope to have an update on the terminal project from the airport. So stay tuned on that one.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions? All right. Thank you. Gio, do you have a – should we – you want to go before or after the recess?
Before, please.
Okay.
It's been a quiet month in government operations. Our meeting is this Thursday, May 3rd, and we have a very short agenda.
There you go. Any questions for Dan? All right. Thank you very much. Anna, since you've got a couple of resolutions pulled, we will – let's have a recess first. Okay?
Don't we just have three more things? Am I missing something?
Yeah, well, there were two resolutions pulled off of
– I don't have objections to them. I just can't vote on them.
Okay. Does that sound – all right, let's roll. Okay, Anna, go for it. Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee.
While I'm waiting for my computer to load the agenda, let me do the two resolutions. The first resolution that was pulled, resolution number D, ID number 7782, award of spring 2018 tourism marketing and advertising grants. So moved.
Seconded by Deborah. And who pulled that? Mike?
I just want to abstain. It's marketing money. I'm going to try to put them on billboards. So.
All right. With that recusal, any other discussion? All right. Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hands. Any opposed? And abstention. One abstention. That's 12-0-1. Thank you.
And then I have Resolution G. ID number 7785. This is the award of spring 2018 community celebrations grants.
Seconded by Mike Lane.
Same
discussion?
Issue.
Same issue. Okay. Ready to vote? Anna?
No.
Oh, you're voting already. Okay. Let's go. All in favor, please raise your hand. Any opposed? 12 in favor and one recusal. Thank you.
So just a quick report on online from the meeting. We had a presentation from the CVB about the work that they've been doing, the work that they're doing moving forward. We also had a quick presentation, although there isn't any documentation really online. Hopefully this will be to come. The Southern Tier East Regional Planning Development Board, of which you guys all remember that we joined this year, they have been revamping all of their logos and all of their marketing materials, so she'll be back with that, and I'll let you know when we present that. Cornell Cooperative Extension did a presentation on real-time energy management using the Internet of Things. That is also online if you want to check that out. Any questions, you feel free to ask me. The last thing that I wanted to point out that is online is a presentation that was done by Tompkins County Area Development. And they gave us their annual report right off the presses from last year. And they also did an extended discussion of breakdown of the revenue that they have, where it comes from, the different components of that revenue. And we also asked them to give us a little bit of background on the work that they do specifically within tourism. I did notice that the report that was online doesn't include that slide, so I've just sent an email to try and get that. Hopefully then that updated presentation will be online for people to check out. And that's everything.
Thanks, Anna. Any questions?
Oh, one thing is that our meeting will not be on Monday next month, which is Memorial Day. It'll be on the Tuesday, which is May 29th at 3 p.m. here in the chambers.
Okay, and I just noticed that the CAFE standards resolution, you were going to make a change in the title, just the manifest error, let's say.
There, for sure. So there is the one adjustment in title. That is resolution urging the federal government to maintain strong corporate average fuel economy standards and support should say supporting. Hoping that can be an easy manifest change.
She's not.
Awesome.
Good. Okay. All right. Thanks, Kathy. Thank you, Anna. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Mike Lane.
I have a question.
Oh, sorry, Deborah. Yes.
Sorry. I seem to recall from that meeting that the woman from the SDA left us a list of things she needed from us. Where are we? Is there something we have to do?
No, that is actually being worked on in collaboration with the Planning Department. So she'll give an update. We'll get that.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much. Budget, Capital, and Personnel Committee, Mike Lane, Chair.
Thank you. A couple of things I wanted to report on is that we had a very brief meeting before this legislature meeting, and we covered the same two resolutions that Dave's F&I committee brought forward on the Center for History and Culture. So that's what we did as well. We also approved those. I wanted to mention that we had our budget retreat last week, and this is how we kick off the rather lengthy but rather thorough budget process which we go through at the county. This was Jason's first baptism by fire, and I personally think that he did a great job for us and went through and had a presentation for us to look at, had recommendations, put it into our hands, what kind of parameters we wanted to give him. We came up with what we thought we would like to move ahead with, and the resolutions which incorporate the budget parameters will be coming forward after the next Budget and Capital and Personnel Committee meeting, which is going to be May 8th at 4 o'clock p.m. They are part of the agenda. For a new county administrator coming in, who is our budget officer, to take on the first budget is not an easy thing. I know, Jason, that you had help. I know Kevin McGuire was helpful, and I think Rick Snyder was helpful to you, and probably others, the department heads. But we're off to a good start, and we'll be following this through right through November.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. I think we all heartily agree with that sentiment. Appreciate that. Any questions for Mike? All right. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee. Leslie McBean-Claiborne, Chair.
Workforce Diversity Committee met last week, I believe. We hosted three members of the City of Ithaca's Workforce Diversity Advisory Committee who presented their diversity toolkit for the CTAP, the city's CTAP. Just to share with us what they are asking of developers coming in relative to diversity and inclusion. We were very thankful for that opportunity. We hope to hear from folks from TCAD who, you know, also had some involvement or at least conversation about this as we try to see if there's a place for the county to have this as a tool that we use as well. So the conversation will continue. If anyone is interested in seeing the diversity toolkit that was developed by the city's Workforce Diversity Advisory Committee, please let Kathy Covert know. No, Kathy has electronically. She sent it out to the WDIC committee, but you all can take a look as well. I just want to remind folks, that was the main part of our meeting. I also just want to remind folks that pretty soon the climate survey will be coming out. Please, I'm encouraging all of you to pay keen attention and to participate. We're trying to get an even bigger return in participants from the last time around, so we have a chance to see what's different, if anything. How are we progressing relative to diversity and inclusion, job satisfaction, communication, leadership within this organization we call county government? So stay tuned. That's my report.
Thank you very much, Leslie. Any questions? Dan.
Leslie, when the climate survey comes out, it's going to be very clear to the employees that it's confidential. There's nobody's going to know who
yes,
does
sir.
What.
Okay, yes, sir. And there are several options for responding, of course, is by computer. You can now do it by your phone, which is a new option for these technology things. Paper copies with self-addressed stamped envelopes that they just need to put it in and send it off. They don't have to leave it anywhere for anyone. So, yes, we'll emphasize that so that people can do that. Thankful to some of my colleagues around this table for sharing your thoughts around questions. We were able to include some, a few more open-ended questions. Not everything that you shared with me, but some of them, as we continue to improve the process. So thank you.
Deborah?
Leslyn, are we supposed to be filling this out too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
And we expect the results back when, approximately?
Oh, Lord, what are you asking me? I don't remember the timeline. See? Marcia knows the timeline. Also be from the vendor.
August 2nd.
Yes. So
okay.
We'll get that. Marcia is with the marketing team, and so they will be sending out those dates for all of us to stay tuned.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Do we have a motion for the minutes of April 20th, 2018? Moved by Shauna, second by Leslyn. Any debate, discussion, changes? All in favor of the minutes, please raise your hand. Mm-hmm. Any opposed? That's unanimous. Can I get a motion to adjourn 20 of 8? Moved by Henry, seconded by Deborah. All in favor, please raise your hand.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. We are adjourned. Okay.